Good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. We're so glad that you're with us in our worship service this morning. And we want to welcome you into the house of God and to experience God's grace and receive of his love. And today I am finishing this series. I wanted to do the last two to finish it out on the relational challenges. And today we're going to be dealing with the challenges of intimidation. And I'm sure all of us have felt that way at one time or another. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Join together for our call to worship in the bulletin. Now is the time to sing the good news of God. Now is the time to offer praise to God. Now is the time to join all creation in extolling God. Well, let's join together there if you'd like to turn in your hymn books. It's 51, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. Crown Hymn with Many Crowns. That was the last one. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Jesus King throughout eternity. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wound yet visible above. In beauty glorified. No angels in the sky. Join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Risen One, fill us with boldness and fresh hope as you did for your first followers. Strengthen us with your risen life, grace, and peace for God's glory. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and I'm going to invite our kids. And they would make their way down this morning.
Stand our ground at times. and let people say, listen, I didn't like that. And you don't like it either. So we shouldn't treat one another like that. And because bullying is not fun. When somebody constantly, it's one thing if your best friends teach you a little better, you guys pick on each other. Because we all do that. I mean, you know, I even do that with some people, you know. But when somebody constantly does something, we can't, you know, we just can't let that keep happening. Because that's not easy to deal with. And we start to feel bad on the inside. Well, guess what? In our meeting today, as we've been going, it's been a while, but we started talking about last week again, about Nehemiah, who's that leader that's trying to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. There was a group of leaders that threatened his life. Yes. Now that's bullying to the extreme, isn't it? Usually that doesn't happen to kids that often. Maybe sometimes teenagers, you know, but this is adults. This is adults. In fact, somebody that was a very big leader, and he was threatened. And you know what? Nehemiah didn't like it. And he told him that. He told him, he said, listen, you guys can't do that. You're not fooling me. I can see right through you. You're making up things about me. Because they were trying to get him in trouble with the king of Persia. And he would not allow it to happen. And so sometimes we have to either talk to an adult or a teacher about what's going on and let them know, you know, so that we don't keep facing that over and over again. Because that's not fun, is it? You know that. That's not fun at all. And the other thing, one other thing I want to tell you, right in the middle of that story about Nehemiah, before he went and confronted those people about what they were saying, and to tell them, listen, that's not right, we can't do that, he said, God, strengthen my hands. Now, hands in the Bible speaks of a person's authority or power or ability to do something. Even God's hands are talked about as God's power, authority to do things for us, you know, heal us and other different things. And so Nehemiah said, God, please strengthen my hands. And he was saying, God, I need your help to go talk to these people about what they were doing and confront them about it. And God did that. And God helped him. And he did confront them. And they were found out for what they were trying to do. And so sometimes we have to speak up because you don't want somebody to keep beating on you or calling you bad names or anything else and saying bad rumors and spreading lies about you. So.
Did he like go to the dungeon when the group got confronted?
No. But guess what they were doing? They tried to trick him to come to a place so they could get him. And it says in the story that Nehemiah realized what they were trying to do. I think that was God letting Nehemiah know, don't you even go there. Because that's bad trouble that's going to be there if you go there. And guess what? He didn't go there. Later on, though, he met with them and talked with them on his own terms. But they were trying to get him to go to a place earlier. And he's like, nope. I'm not going there. And sometimes we need to be careful of places. You know, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where somebody can hurt us or try to treat us badly. And, and those are the kind of things that you got to talk to mom and dad about, or grandma and grandpa about more often when you go through those things, or a teacher or something, or the principal. So, all right, I'll let you guys head on downstairs this morning, and we're going to go talk to God this morning. And so we're going to go to prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. We're going to give you a chance to do that before we go to prayer. Somebody this morning. Yes.
Mother passed away years ago from cancer, and now he has all the same symptoms. Mm. And just pray, his name is
Brad Taylor.
Okay. Let's remember Brad in our prayers. Have they confirmed anything yet, or is it beginning?
He does have a growth in his throat, and he can't swallow anymore.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
It's very...
That's scary. Yes. Yeah, when you can't swallow, or even maybe it gets to a point where you can't breathe right. Yeah. So definitely want to keep Brad in our prayers this morning. So, somebody else, joys or concerns? Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. Someone else this morning. Yeah.
Marcia, the Evans case, Tanner lost her husband Friday morning.
Hmm. What was the last name?
We knew it was Marcia Fronting, but it's B-A-R-D-N-E-R, Martha.
Okay. Okay, so we want to remember, you said the Bartner family?
B-A-R.
Okay.
We just know it's Marshall Pine.
Got it, Bartner. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, we want to remember that family in our prayers this morning then. I saw another hand, yep.
Brother Mike had a biopsy last week. He'll find out Thursday what the results of his lung, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe it's not something, yeah. So, results. So I want to remember Mike in our prayer then, and this morning. And speaking of Mike, I want to let you know, thank you so much for your prayers. My brother did come home from OSU. I think I haven't got a final report, but I'm thinking some of the adjustment in the medicines and stuff like that, and with his magnesium and potassium being off, I think they got his heart back in where it needs to be. So hopefully I'll be able to find out more about that. I didn't get to talk to him because they had his grandson was got married yesterday, which is my great nephew. So thank you so much for your prayers for them. Somebody else this morning. Yep. Okay.
And the joy is Priscilla's here, and Ron Bear had a stent put in, and he's home and doing great.
Oh, good. Yes, we prayed for him last Sunday, so thank God they were able to get that all taken care of then. Good, good. Somebody else, joys or concern, yeah?
Kenny Waters, he keeps our horseshoe pets, keeps them mowed real well for us, and he really takes a lot of joy in doing that. But Monday he was mowing out there and fell and broke his hip. And so he's in the hospital. He don't have any pain much except when he tries to move.
yeah, that's... Yeah, hip, broken hip. Oh, yeah, that's some bad pain there.
Okay, they broke it up high, so they operated on Tuesday.
Okay. You say they operated this past Tuesday, or they're going to be operating tomorrow?
No, this past Tuesday. They operated on the next day.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, so he's already getting in that recovery and rehab stage then as he heals up there. So. It is. That helps a lot. Yeah.
Nancy had her successful valve replacement done.
Okay. Yeah. And so let's keep her in our prayers as she's recovering and everything. I know that kind of wipes you out after you have something like that, and definitely want to keep him in our prayers. Somebody else.
Oh, funny thing. Roger said she's either getting a pig valve or a hog or a cow valve, is it?
There you go. That's pretty much what they use fairly regularly. The pigs were the first ones that they used. So, yeah. Yeah. Somebody else.
Travel mercies for Bradley and I. We're going to Kansas.
Yep. They're heading out to see the grandkids and to see Matthew before he and his group are flying to Poland with their tank crew. As he, if you don't know, Matthew is a lieutenant colonel now in the Army, and he's overseeing this commanding unit. Is it a brigade? Or that's what I thought, yeah. And they'll be traveling. Matthew's been on our monthly list. He's one on there. You see Matthew Burton, because he's been serving, and he's going to be a career. So, yes. Yep, so, yep. And somebody else. Yeah.
We have a joy. Our son Alan is retired from the Army.
Ah, the 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there? 24? Or 20, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, somebody else. Somebody else. Okay, well, we got several there today, and ones we want to keep in. Kathy Gonzalez was the one that was mentioned last Sunday in the service. Gosh, I'm trying to think of what that was. Anybody remember? I cannot remember exactly what it was, but she definitely needs our prayers. And it was fairly seriously from what I remember. And I knew I should have wrote it down, because I already have it for next month's on the monthly calendar, but appreciate your prayers for her. I think that was Nancy Macy's co-worker. Yeah, so anybody else then? All right, well, there's several there. If you think of some of those names, or you have something that you could maybe share or didn't want to, and you would like to talk to God about that, you can while she's praying or playing, and we're praying, and so we can lift those up to the Lord, and then I'll close us out. Gracious God, as we pause today, we are thankful, as I always say, we are thankful and grateful that you are the one who reigns and rules, and thank you for Jesus who came and said that the reign of heaven is among us, the reign of God is with us, and you are working in our lives, and through the messages and the good news and through healing and answering prayers and extending grace and all of those things that you do in our world, sustaining us and providing for us and being there with us when we're facing daunting challenges. And that's part of your reign, that you're there for us, that you're working in our lives. And extending your love and your peace and your grace. And today we are so grateful that we are part of extending that grace and love and peace into our world. And thank you for the privilege of being able to pray and be a part of what you want to do in people's lives to establish the news of your kingdom and your reign here in our world. So Lord, we do lift up those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we're lift up Brad with this throat cancer and this blockage that's building there. And God, we just pray for your healing touch and your grace, and give wisdom to the doctors, and they'll know exactly what to do and how they want to handle that, Lord, there. So we pray for wisdom. We pray for Mike with the biopsy. And Lord, we're just looking to you for a good report. But Lord, whatever, we trust Mike into your hands and ask that you would bring your healing touch and grace there. For Ian, Lord, for the seriousness of that situation, God, there with the ventilator, Lord, we ask for your touch and your healing there. Lord, we continue to lift up Georgia, Lord, and for the tests and everything that she's been going through. And Lord, we're just praying for wisdom and guidance there, and your healing touch and grace to be with her. And Lord, we lift up Kenny, Lord, this morning. Thank you for that good spirit within him. And as he's recovering, God, we pray for your healing strength and grace there. We lift up Nancy to you. Thank you for bringing her through that and for her recovery, God. We continue to pray for healing and that your presence would be with her. We lift up Kathy, Lord, with this health issues there. God, we pray for your healing touch and your grace there with her, and that you would work in her life, Lord. We pray for Brad and Carla that are traveling, and I'm thinking of a couple others that are traveling this weekend, Lord, and God, that you'll be with them and give them a safe trip and bring them back safely to be with us. And we're thankful for that today. We lift up the Bardner family, Lord, with the loss of these loved one. God, we pray for your grace and your comfort and your peace today for each of them. And sustain them, we pray. And Lord, we lift up these two unspoken needs. Lord, you know exactly what they are. And we pray for your guidance and your wisdom and your leading and your answers there to come forward. And we're thankful for that today as you meet the need there. And Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we lift up those on our monthly prayer list, God, asking for your healing touch and your grace and guidance and protection and wisdom with all those different needs and strength, Lord, and God. And we thank you for that. And continue to minister there. We ask your blessing upon the rest of this service, Lord. As we break the bread of your word, may you encourage us and strengthen us. And let us know that you are with us no matter what we're facing. And that you give us strength in the midst of hardships and the challenges of life. And then, Lord, also we pray as we come to the table this morning that your presence and your grace will be real in our lives as we sup with you and receive from you this morning. And we thank you for all of these things now as we ask them all in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, we we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. And it's through that obedience, I guess you could say, or generosity, that God meets the needs of our local congregation here and then sends us forth to be a blessing into people's lives and homes and communities around the world. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. O God, use this offering to bring life and hope to your church and the world you love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 16. This section of Nehemiah that we've been going through for this series, and then we're going to be stopping, is called the Memoirs. The Memoirs of Nehemiah. If you happen to read through it or paid attention when I was reading through, you can almost see it, that first person aspect that keeps coming through this series. And so we're going to start there in verse 1 and read through. Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no gaps left in it, although I hadn't yet hung the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let's meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they wanted to harm me. So I sent messengers to tell them I'm doing important work, so I can't come down. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to you? They sent a message like this 4 times. And every time I gave them a similar reply. But the 5th time, Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same way, except that now he carried an open letter. It stated, "It is reported among the nations, and confirmed by Geshem that you and the Jews intend to rebel. This is why you are rebuilding the wall. According to these reports, you intend to become their king. You have also appointed prophets to make this announcement about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now the king will hear of these reports. So come, let us talk together. So I sent him this reply. Nothing that you say has happened. You are simply inventing this. All of them were trying to make us afraid, saying they will be discouraged and the work won't get finished. But now, God, strengthen me. Later, I went to Shimei, Deliah's son, and Metabel's grandson, who was confirmed to his house, and said, let's meet together in God's house, inside the temple itself. Let's shut the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you tonight. But I replied, should someone like me run away? Who like me would go into the temple to save his life? I won't go in. Then I realized that God hadn't sent him at all, but that he spoke this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired to frighten me and make me sin by acting in this way. Then they could give me a bad name and discredit me. My God, remember these deeds of Tobiah and Sanballat. Also remember Nodiah, the prophetess, and the rest of the prophets who had been trying to frighten me. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. It took 52 days. When our enemies heard about this, all of the nations around us were afraid, and their confidence was greatly shaken. They knew that this work was completed with the help of our God. That is our scripture reading this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, these are kind of like, do you think you're having a bad day kind of jokes here. So here's one I want to share with you. In a hospital's intensive care unit, patients kept dying in the same bed on Sunday morning at about 11 a.m., regardless of their medical condition. This puzzled the doctors, and they even started to think, wow, something supernatural must be going on. No one could solve the mystery as why the deaths occurred around 11 a.m. on Sunday. So a worldwide team of experts were assembled to come and investigate the cause of the incident. The next Sunday morning, a few minutes before 11, all the doctors and nurses nervously waited outside the ward to see for themselves what the terrible phenomena was all about. Some were holding wooden crosses and prayer books and other holy objects to ward off evil spirits. Just when the clock struck 11, Pookie Johnson, the part-time Sunday sweeper, entered the ward, unplugged the life support system so he could plug in the vacuum cleaner. Yes, that is a joke. And the joke is, and you think your life is bad. So, yes. I think I shared that several years ago. I don't know if anybody remembered that or not. This morning, I want to talk to you about the challenges of intimidation. As I was reading that this morning, I don't know if anybody was catching the intrigue of that story and the meddling that was going on behind the scenes and everything that was happening. I mean, you got people paying off prophets who were prophesying against the person that was doing the will of God. It couldn't be any worse. So let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever experienced a time or season where you were confident about yourself and something you were doing, whether it was a job or was a project or something you were building or whatever it may have been? And then later, maybe in the middle, maybe a little towards the end, maybe early on, your confidence completely disappeared. Or maybe you were excited about something that you were working on, maybe an ability or something you learned or a new trade or skill or whatever else and that you were going to accomplish. And then you began all of a sudden to doubt yourself. Can I finish this? Can I do this? Maybe you even said the words, gosh, am I good enough to take care of this? They want me to do this at church. Can I do that? Am I able to do it? Maybe you've asked yourself, wait a minute, why am I feeling this way now? I was so confident. I'm feeling very small and insecure. Where do those feelings come from? One word, at least possibility. Intimidation. Intimidation. Have you ever had somebody at work come up to you and intimidate you? And you were just working away. You had no problems. And then when that person that came up to you and said something to you intimidated you, and all of a sudden you started doubting whether you could do it. I think we've all felt intimidated at one time or another. Nehemiah faced that, as you could tell when the reading this morning. At least we probably haven't had our lives threatened. But now you can see what they were going through. A couple things, three really this morning. I don't always do threes, but we're going to do three this morning. And the first one is recognizing intimidation. Recognizing intimidation. As we all know, if you've ever felt this way, I can remember many occasions where this has happened. Intimidation can be overwhelming at times. Maybe often than we like to say. It feeds. Why? Why is intimidation so overwhelming? Because it feeds our insecurities and makes us feel unsure and uneasy and hesitant and or even doubting ourselves at every turn. And what is so vicious about intimidation is that we begin to blame ourselves. And we fail to recognize somebody else, whoever's doing the intimidation, is attacking us. Now, I know we don't always think of it that way, because we probably had maybe parents or grandparents that intimidated us at times growing up or whatever it may be. But still, that's part of that. Also, intimidation promotes fear and a loss of confidence. Fear either of physical harm, hopefully not, but or of social repercussions like rejection or ridicule. I mean, if you've ever had anybody make fun of you in front of other people for something that you couldn't do or speak or say or accomplish or whatever it was. And then it just makes that much harder to speak or do something. Loss of confidence then in our abilities, in our own judgment and decisions, especially when we're facing overwhelming situations where someone in power or authority over us speaks those kind of things to us, or maybe just facing the complexities of a situation, like we've seen through this whole series. It kept getting worse as they went along. And sometimes then when that happens, we start to doubt ourselves and wonder, can I do this? Can I complete that? Now, we're not always told everything that Nehemiah was facing, but I guarantee there was probably some battles going on in his head. Second thing I want you to see, not only in recognizing intimidation, is what about well-timed intimidation? Now, you may be saying, whoa, wait a minute, what do you mean? Why would it be well-timed? Well, here's what I want you to see. Interestingly, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or put two and two together before. Not always, but sometimes. We often face intimidation at significant moments in our lives. And those moments can be turning points for us. We can either go backwards or we can keep moving forwards, depending on how we deal with those times in our lives. The wall building project Nehemiah had been leading for some 50 days was about finished. They had only, as we were told there in our reading, to hang the doors of the gates. I don't think it's a coincidence that at that moment, when they were about done and everything was completed, that intimidation happened to them. Such moments can either stun us or they can propel us, depending on how prepared we are or don't overreact to them or whatever you want to say. Nehemiah didn't know it yet, but he was about to face his greatest test. And that leads me to this second part here of this, is that intimidation is often personal. Here's another reason why it's so hurtful or can be so tough on us at times and cause us to react in different ways. In this story, two local leaders sent a private invitation to Nehemiah so that they could lure him into the valley of Ono. The question is, we read there in the first part, they wanted to harm him, but later we see that they wanted to kill him. What was he going to do? Well, when that didn't work, they sent Nehemiah an intimidating letter accusing him of instigating a rebellion and setting himself up as king, which was a serious, treasonous accusation and rumor. They were trying to intimidate Nehemiah and keep him from completing the project. We've probably experienced times in our lives where somebody is jealous of us and they don't want to see us succeed or whatever else may come along, and they'll intimidate us to get us to stop. So, well-timed intimidations. Third thing is refusing to be intimidated. Refusing to be intimidated. It's sad but true. We will face intimidation. I don't think there's probably not one person sitting in here that hasn't faced that. Daunting words, thoughts, or situations. Listen to me. Whether intentional or unintentional. Sometimes people may say something to us and they didn't even realize what they were saying was intimidating us. That's unintentional. But there's at other times when we know what's going on because we hear it from others and others because they said it to them about what they were trying to do. And all of those things, whether intentional or not, are meant to keep us from walking in God's best for our lives. Because sometimes, once those words or thoughts or situations get into our head, they don't take no for an answer. Did you catch where it said? Four times they kept bugging Nehemiah about that. And finally, on the fifth time, he did something about it. And thankfully, God helps us to discern such tactics. This is what's so important that I want you to catch a hold of this morning. We are told several times in our reading, Nehemiah saw through their tactics. In other words, he discerned the intents of what those people were saying to him. And because of that, he called them out on it. Twice at least. I love the one time when they were spreading the rumors about where, hey, you're trying to start up a rebellion and you're going to make yourself king. Well, you know what? If that would have reached back to the king of Persia, they would have sent soldiers in and probably killed Nehemiah on the spot. They knew what they were doing. But I love how Nehemiah responds to this. Nothing you say has happened. You are simply inventing us. And the Hebrew literally says, this is a figment of your imagination or your heart. It's important to be able to discern what people are saying and whether it's true or not in situations and about people and everything else. And it says a couple times that Nehemiah realized or discerned their plan was to frighten, discourage, or deceive, so they would not complete the building of the walls and discredit Nehemiah's reputation. But I love how it says that Nehemiah said, God, strengthen me. Strengthen me. And then he goes and personally confronts Shimei, the so-called prophet who Tobiah paid to speak against Nehemiah and claim to be harassed by him. Listen, don't underestimate the power of greed. Because even somebody that was known to be a so-called prophet or Christian or whatever you want to say, a person, a man or woman of God, all can be led astray. And in this instance, that person was speaking against the leader who was trying to do God's will to rebuild the wall. I'm reminded of those emphatic words of Winston Churchill, who once delivered to the Harrow School in England, never give in, never, 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 never give in. Well, guess what? Nehemiah refused to give in to the fear and intimidation. Determined, he finished the wall after 52 days. Now, this whole series we've been going through, you probably thought it was months and maybe even years, and it turns out it was only 52 days. And we are told at the very end of the verses we read today that many from the other nations around them heard that God was with them. Thankfully today, God is with us too. As we face all of these challenges that I talked about through this entire series, the challenges of life, and if you haven't heard all of them, you want to hear some of the other ones, you can go online on the church website and listen to them. Someone once said, when the enemy blasts, God outlasts. And when we're on God's side, and that's the other thing that Nehemiah knew, he was doing what God wanted him to do. He kept going and didn't quit. Amen. And amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts this morning to receive communion. And as we do, like we always do, we will begin with our prayer of thanksgiving and confession to prepare our hearts to receive at the table today. And so if you would like to join me, I would encourage you to pray with me this morning. God of grace, we acknowledge ways in which we fall short of your intentions and purposes for us. We confess we find it difficult to forgive others and ourselves. Meet us with your grace at this table and set us free to begin again with you and others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive of his grace today. Receive of his forgiveness and reach out to Christ this morning. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be a regular attender. You can receive. The table's open. Jesus invites us to receive. So I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be helping us out this morning, if they would make their way as we prepare to be served and partake at the table this morning. Do we have enough? I guess we'll have to grab some others. We need two more to help us out this morning. There we go. Okay, they got it. Here we go. Thank you. All right. On that night which Jesus was handed over, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and said, "Take, eat," to his disciples. "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. Later, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, we're going to go ahead and close out with our song. You'll get a fellowship some downstairs, or maybe say something to a few, and we're going to sing that chorus. We worship and adore you, so we're going to invite you to stand, and let's go ahead and sing that here this morning. We worship and adore you. We worship and adore you, bowing down before you, songs of praises singing, hallelujahs ringing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's sing it again. We were worship and adore you, bowing down before you, songs of praises singing, hallelujahs ringing, hallelujah, 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 amen. Let's join together for our benediction. Go now in the strength of the one who loves us. May the worship of heaven surround us and the joy of the risen one overflow in us. Amen. Thank you.